Hello, hello, it's Silly Aunt Sissy, and I'm your host, and I am welcoming you to the Silly Aunt Sissy Radio Theater Show. Yay! Thanks for joining us, and we got some great poems, and we're reading another chapter of How the Four Were Reunited After They Killed the Queen on Chapter 13 of The Wizard of Oz. But first, let's read some poems from Where the Sidewalk Ends. Us. Me and him and me were always together. As you can see, I wish he'd leave so I'd be free. I'm getting a little bit tired of he, and he may be a bit bored with me. On movies and ladies, we cannot agree. I like to dance, he loves to ski. He likes the mountains, I love the sea. I like hot chocolate, he wants his tea. I want to sleep, he has to pee. He's meaner and duller and fatter than me. But I guess there's worse things we could be. Instead of two, we could be three. Me and him and me. I'm making a list. I'm making a list of the things I must say for politeness and goodness and kindness and gentleness, sweetness and rightfulness. Hello, pardon me. How are you? Excuse me. Bless you. May I? Thank you. Goodbye. If you know some that I've forgotten, please stick them in your eye. Ha. Huh. Let's read one or two more, huh? Me and my giant. I have a friend who is a giant, and he lives where the tall weeds grow. He's as high as a mountaintop and wide as a barn, and I only come up to his toe, you know. I only come up to his toe. When the daylight grows dim, I talk with him way down in the marshy sands. And his ear is far away to hear, too far away to hear. But he still understands. He stands. I know he understands. For we have a code called the scratch tap code. And here's what we do. I scratch his toe once means hello, and twice means how are you? Three means does it look like rain? Four times means don't cry. Five times means I'll scratch you a joke. And six times means goodbye, goodbye. Six times means goodbye. And he answers by tapping his toe. Once means hello, friend. Two tap means it's very nice to feel your scratch again. Three taps means it's lonely here with my head in the top of the sky. Four tap means today an eagle smiled as she flew by. Five taps means, oops, I just bumped my head against the moon. Six means sigh, and seven means bye. And eight means come back soon, soon, soon. Eight means come back soon. And then I scratch 1,000 times, and he taps with a bumpity bim. And he laughs so hard he shakes the sky. That means I'm tickling him. Tickle, tickle, tickle. Well, that is it. We'll read more tomorrow. Well, guys, shall we get on to it? And remember to vote. All right, chapter 13. If you remember, the Wicked Witch of the West was just melted by Dorothy. The Cowardly Lion was much pleased to hear that the Wicked Witch had been melted by a bucket of water, and Dorothy at once unlocked the gate of the prison and set him free. They went in together to the castle, where Dorothy's first act was to call all the Winkies together and tell them that they were no longer slaves. There were great rejoicing among the yellow Winkies, for they had been made to work hard during many years for a wicked witch who always treated them with great cruelty. They kept this day as a holiday then and ever after, and spent the time in feasting and dancing. "If your friends, the Scarecrow and the Tin Woodsman, were only with us," said the Lion, "I should be quite happy." "Don't you suppose we could rescue them?" asked the girl anxiously. "We can try," answered the Lion. So they called the yellow Winkies and asked them if they would help to rescue their friends, and the Winkies said that they would be delighted to do all their power for Dorothy, who would set them free from bondage. So she chose a number of the Winkies who looked as if they knew the most, and they all started away. They traveled the day and part of the next until they came to the rocky plain, where the Tin Woodsman lay, all battered and bent. His axe was near him, but the blade was rusted and the handle broken off. The Winkies lifted him tenderly in their arms and carried him back to the Yellow Castle again, Dorothy shedding a few tears by the way at the sad plight of her old friend, and the Lion looking sober and sorry. When they reached the castle, Dorothy said to the Winkies, "Are any of your people tinsmen?" "Oh, yes, some are very good tinsmen. They bring them to me." And when the tinsmen came, bringing with them all their tools and baskets, she inquired, "Can you straighten out the the mess in the Tin Woodman and bend him back into shape again and solder him together where he's broken. The tinsmen looked at the woodman over carefully and then answered that they thought they could mend him so he would be as good as ever. So they set to work in one of the big yellow rooms of the castle and worked for 3 days and 4 nights, hammering and twisting and bending and soldering and polishing and pounding at the legs and body and head of the Tin Woodman, until at last he was straightened out into his old form, and his joints worked as well as ever, to be sure. There were several patches on him, but the tinsman did a good job, and as the woodsman was not a vain man, he did not mind the patches at all. When at last he walked into Dorothy's room and thanked him for rescuing him, he was so pleased that he wept tears of joy, and Dorothy had to wipe every tear carefully away from his face with her apron, so his joints would not be rusted. At the same time, her own tears fell thick and fast at the joy of meeting her old friend again. As for the lion, he wiped his eyes so often with the tip of his tail that it became quite wet, and he was obliged to go into the courtyard and hold it into the sun till it dripped, dried. If we only had the scarecrow with us again, I should be quite happy. We must try to find him. So he called the Winkies to help her, and they walked all over the day and the next part of the next day until they came to the tall tree in the branches of which the winged monkeys had tossed the scarecrow's clothes. It was a very tall tree, and the trunk was so smooth that no one could barely see. One could climb it, but the woodsman said at once, "I'll chop it down, and then we can get the scarecrow's clothes." Now, when the Tin Woodman had been at work mending the woodsman himself, another of the Winkies was a goldsmith, had made an axe handle of the solid gold and fit it into the woodsman's axe instead of the old broken handle. Others polished the blade until all the rust was removed and it glistened like a burnished silver. As soon as he had spoken, the Tin Woodman began to chop, and in a short time, the tree fell over with a crash. Dorothy picked them up. The clothes rolled off from the ground, and Dorothy picked them up and had the Winkies carry them back to the castle, where they were stuffed with nice, clean straw. And behold, here was the scarecrow as good as ever, thanking him over and over again for saving him. Now they were reunited. Dorothy and her friends spent a few happy days at the Yellow Castle, where they found everything they needed to make them comfortable. One day the girl thought of Aunt Em and said, "We must go back to Oz to claim his promise." "Yes," said the woodsman, "at last I shall get my heart, and I shall get my brains. And I shall get back to Kansas, and I shall get my courage," said the lion. Dorothy began clapping, "Yay! We all shall be happy. Oh, let us start for the Emerald City tomorrow." That's what they decided to do. The next day, they called the Winkies together and bade them goodbye. The Winkies were very sorry to have them go, and they had grown so fond of the Tin Woodman, they begged him to stay and rule over them in the Yellow Land of the West. Finding they were determined to go, the Winkies gave Toad and the Lion each a golden collar, and to Dorothy presented a beautiful bracelet studded with diamonds, and to the Scarecrow they gave a gold-headed walking stick to keep him from stumbling, and to the Tin Woodman they offered a silver oil can. Every one of the travelers made the Winkies a pretty speech in return, and all shook hands with them until their arms ached. Dorothy went to the witch's cupboard to fill her basket with food for the journey, and there she saw the golden cap. She tried it on her own hand and found that it fitted her perfectly. She did not know anything about the chain of the golden cap, but she saw that it was pretty, so she made up her mind to wear it and carefully carried it for the journey. They all started for the Emerald City, and the Winkies gave them 3 cheers. Hip hip! Hip hip! Hip hip! Hip hip! Hooray! And many good wishes to carry them happily through the forest to the Emerald City. Let's read one more. Chapter 14, shall we? The Winged Monkeys. You'll remember there was no road, not even a pathway, between the castle of the Wicked Witch and the Emerald Cities. When the 4 travelers went in search of the witch, she had seen them coming and so sent the winged monkeys to bring them to her. It was much harder to find their way back through the big fields of buttercups and yellow daisies than it was being carried. They knew, of course, they must go east, but at noon, when the sun was over their heads, they did not know which way was east and which was west, and that was the very reason they were lost in the great fields. They kept on walking, and at night the moon came and shone brightly. So they lay down among the sweet-smelling yellow flowers and slept soundly until morning, all but the Scarecrow and the Tin Woodsman. The next morning the sun was behind a cloud, but they started on as if they were quite sure which way they go. We walked far enough. We shall sometime see something. We should, I'm sure. But by day, as each day passed, they still saw nothing before them but the yellow fields. The Scarecrow began to grumble a bit. We have surely lost our way, and lest we find it again in time to reach the Emerald City, I shall never get my brains, nor I my heart. It seems to me I can scarcely wait until I get to Oz, and you must admit this is a very long journey. You see, said the Cowardly Lion with a whimper, I haven't the courage to keep trampling forever. And Dorothy lost heart. She sat down on the grass and looked at her companions. Toto found that, for the first time in his life, he was too tired to chase a butterfly that flew past his head, so he put out his tongue and panted. Suppose we call the field mice, she suggested. They could probably tell us the way to the Emerald City. To be sure they could. Why didn't we think of that before? Dorothy blew the little whistle she had always carried about her neck since the Queen of the Mice had given it to her. In a few minutes, they heard the panting of teeny feet. And the Queen herself asked in her squeaky little voice, What can I do for my friends? We have lost our way, said Dorothy. Can you tell us where the Emerald City is? Certainly, but it is a good way off, for you have had it in your backs all this time. Then she noticed Dorothy's golden cap and said, Why don't you use the charm of the cap and call the winged monkeys to you? They will carry you to the City of Oz in less than an hour. I don't know there was a charm, answered Dorothy. It is written inside the golden cap. But if you are going to call the winged monkeys, we must run away, for they are full of mischief and think it is great fun to plague us. Won't they hurt me? Oh, no, they must obey the wearer of the cap. Goodbye! And she scamped out of sight, with all the mice hurrying about. Dorothy looked inside the golden cap and saw some words written upon the lining. These, she thought, must be the charm, so she read the directions carefully and put the cap upon her head. E-P-P-P-Kaki, she said, standing on her left foot. What did you say? Who did not know what she was doing? Hello, hello, hello. Dorothy went on, standing in that time on her right foot. Hello, replied the Tin Woodsman carefully, calmly. Zizzy, zizzy, zick, said Dorothy, who was now standing on both feet. King bowed low before Dorothy and asked, What is your command? We wish to go to Emerald City, and we have lost our way. We will carry you. And no sooner had he spoken that two of the monkeys caught Dorothy in their arms and flew away with her. Others took the Scarecrow and the Woodsman and the Lion, and one little monkey seized Toto and flew after them, although the dog tried hard to bite him. The Scarecrow and the Tin Woodsman were rather frightened at first, for they remembered how badly the winged monkeys had treated them. So they rode through the air quite cheerfully when they realized there was no harm, and had a fine time looking at the pretty gardens and woods. They had made a chair of their hands and were carefully not to hurt her, the monkeys were. Why do you have to obey the charm of the golden cap? That is a long story, but as we have a long journey, I will pass the time by telling you about it, if you wish. I shall be glad to hear it. Once we are free people living happily in the great forest, flying from tree to tree, eating nuts and fruits and bananas. But we had no master. Perhaps some of us were rather too full of mischief at times, flying down to pull the tails of the animals. This is many years ago, long before Oz came out of the clouds to roll over the land. There lived here, then, away at the north, a beautiful princess. All of her magic was used to help the people, and she was never known to hurt anyone who was good. Her name was Gaylette, and she lived in a handsome palace built from great blocks of ruby. Everyone loved her, but her greatest sorrow was that she would find no one to live in return, since all the men were much too stupid and ugly to mate with. At last, however, she found a boy who was handsome and manly and wise behind her years. Gaylette made up her mind that when he grew to a man, she would make him her husband. So she took him to her ruby palace and used all of her magic powers. When he grew to manhood, Carlisle, as he was called, you! The princess was very angry, and she knew, of course, who did it. She had all the winged monkeys brought before her, and she said at first that their wings should be tied, and they should be treated as they had treated Quella and dropped in the river. But my grandfather pleaded hard, for he knew the monkeys would drown in the river. So Gaylette finally spared them, on condition that the winged monkeys should ever do 3 times the bidding of the owner of the golden cup. This cap had been made for a wedding present to Quella, and is said to have cost the princess half her kingdom. Of course, my grandfather and all the other monkeys at once agreed to the condition, and that is how it happened that we are 3 times the slaves of the owner of the golden cup. And what became of them? Quella, being the first owner of the golden cup, replied the monkey, was the first to lay his wishes upon us, as his bride could not bear the sight of us. He called us all to him in the forest after he had married her, in order to always keep away where she would never again set eyes on a winged monkey, which we are glad to do if we were all afraid of her. This is all we ever had to do until the golden cup fell into the hands of the Wicked Witch of the West, who made us enslave the winkies, and afterward drove Oz himself out of the land of the West. Now the golden cap is yours, and 3 times you have the right to lay your wishes upon us. As the monkey himself finished his story, Dorothy looked down and saw the green, shining walls of the Emerald City before them. She wondered at the rapid flight of the monkeys, but was glad the journey was over. The strange creatures set the travelers down carefully before the gate of the city. The king bowed down to Dorothy. "That was a good ride," said the little girl. "Yes, and a quick way out of our troubles," replied the lion. "How lucky it was you brought away that wonderful cap." And the discovery of Oz the Terrible. And we shall read that the next day. How does that sound? That is it for tonight. I see you, Gatsby. I see you, Pearlie. I see you, Isadora. And I see you out there. Thanks for joining us and have a good night. Bye-bye, you.